Are we good? There we go. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. And I've been having so much fun in the pre-show right now. And it doesn't surprise me at all because Gio, my friend right here in the lower right-hand corner, is from the Nuclear Heartbreak, who I always have a good time talking to. But this is a new project. And this is the windup. This is Nick. This is Gio. This is Pat. They are a rock alt blues trio. I love the term alt blues. Let's talk about that in a minute. A rock alt blues trio. And they've got their first single coming out on December 10th. Thank you for joining me tonight, fellas.
Thank you so much for having us, John. This is an absolute pleasure. We have been huge fans of 95.9 and of this, the Fairfield County Live and Local show. It's just so great that you're doing this and really, really appreciate you having us on.
Dude, absolutely. So let's jump into it. I love the way that you guys describe yourself, and having now listened to the single that we're going to be playing this Sunday, I can totally hear what you're talking about. Define alt blues for me.
Define that, Nick.
Yeah, I know, right? Blues, but I'm not as good at guitar as most blues, but it's,
don't say that. I heard the don't say that.
Ultimately what we're trying to do here is to combine, sort of a Black Keys modern blues sound that ultimately, you've got bands like Kaleo trying to, do this, and you see this in popular rock right now. Drawing on the blues for inspiration while also factoring in and including other styles of music as well. And I think the one thing that's been really great in working with, Pat and Gio on the sound has been everybody's own unique styles, influences, all coming in to merge together to create an alternative sound that I think, as you'll hear, not only in this single, but as the singles progress, will evolve. It goes different places. So we're not just landing in one genre. We're really drawing on a ton of different inspiration points to create a different sound that's alternative. It draws on the blues and includes the blues, but it goes well beyond that.
Yeah, man. I mean, so this is, let me do a rundown of the instruments. So it's Nick on guitar, lead vocals, Gio on drums, Pat on bass. And, Nick, before we jumped in, we were talking, just me and you, a little bit about how this started off as a solo project for you. But then the influence of having Pat and Gio in there has kind of evolved it. Can you tell me first what, the project was like at its inception when it was kind of just your pet project, and then how it evolved when these guys came into it?
Yeah. For a while it was just playing acoustic gigs and, doing those downtown Norwalk First Friday gigs with Bob D'April.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bob.
Yeah, Bob D'April. Yeah. CT Rocks. CT Rocks Radio.
Hell yeah. He's doing great. He's we're gonna be with him on the 29th also.
He commented on the Instagram post.
Yeah,
I love Bob. All over everything.
He's a pillar of Connecticut music for sure.
Yes, he is.
But, doing gigs, open mics, going into the city, doing acoustic gigs out there. Gio joining me on percussion, sitting there with a cajon. And then over time we said, hey, we want to bring this to life with electric guitar, bass, the full kit. And from there we recorded a couple songs under my name. And I think from there we said, all right, well, what more can we do with this? What else can we add to it? And then Pat joining the band has added this whole new color and dimension. And, Pat's, your bass lines are excellent. You're going to hear him also on lead guitar on the album and on the singles that are going to be coming out. And then obviously Gio, has a great way of shaping a song. Your drums, that creates a rhythm and a pulse that does ultimately get you out of your seat. And so all that has just completely changed it from just a plain solo project to, something that is truly colorized and characterized by everybody in the band. So it's been really a great experience and has gone well beyond what it started at in its inception.
Right. Well, Pat and Gio, what did you guys hear in this project that kind of drew you to it, or in Nick as a musician, I guess?
I mean, you could just kind of pick up just on the way he talks, he's just like, he's always super positive. And it really kind of carries over in his music as well.
That's BS. I'm melting down at midnight all the time. How many times have you talked me off a ledge at midnight where I'm like, this is come on. Well, I appreciate that.
It's more about the process, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you could dive into the lyrics and the depth of that. but just working with these guys, it's never like a struggle. It's always easy, and there's never fighting or anything like you can experience in other bands. It's just really easy, and it's a lot of fun. And it's just good music overall. It just always sounds good for some reason.
Yeah.
I give a lot of that to our sick drummer. But
yeah, I think that's that was a lot of credit.
I've known Nick for a while now, actually.
Yeah.
We were in a band together like years ago.
It's like 10 years ago now.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Sons of Atlas, you might be able to find stuff. I don't know.
Not with me. All that stuff is cleared out. They made way for a new singer, Screamo guy.
But a long time ago. Well, what really made me want to join the band was like I did a couple acoustic gigs with him, and like as you're gonna hear on Sunday, it's catchy music. It's just like he writes some like killer hooks, like, and it just gets stuck in your head, and like they're just great songs. I think personally, I think Nick is a very good songwriter. He's got a great voice. It's a sound that people like. So I like as soon as I started gigging with him, I was just like, absolutely, like I want to be part of this project.
Appreciate you making time for it. I don't know how Gio does it. He's one of the hardest
guys.
Three bands. I can't.
He's got a full time job.
Full time job. Seriously. So.
Well, quarantine helps, you know.
Yeah, quarantine is helping.
So how long? Actually, that's a good question. How long have you guys been playing together now?
So
how much overlap has quarantine had is, I guess, what I'm really getting at.
No, it's a good question. I mean, we started out the year, we probably started really rehearsing. We like towards the end of last year, started getting together, you know, more regularly. We're, you know, starting to do that. And then we heated up. We played one gig in the beginning of March for my 30th birthday. And it was a blast. Everybody came out.
Nice.
And then a week later, quarantine. It was it. It was over. You know, COVID came full blast. And it just.
Oh, you're a March baby like me. Right on.
Yeah, yeah. March 8th.
Right. March 9th. Get out.
What?
That's fun. I'm sorry. That's a non sequitur. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. But, so we do this gig. We do this gig. And, you know, it was a blast. Had all our friends. You know, it was like one last hurrah. And before quarantine ultimately kind of really dropped down on everybody.
Right.
And the reality of what COVID was going to be really set in. And so, you know, we said, all right, well, let's hold off on really doing anything with this right now. It didn't have a name. It was just kind of, you know, just playing some music. And then we said, all right, well, let's give it a month. Let's give it another month. And then finally by July, you know, end of June, we finally said, like, why don't we just really start going for it? Let's start putting out some, we'll get into the studio. There's no live music right now. I started to do, you know, sort of Instagram live gigs and just trying to get out on social media and use that as a platform to get out. So I would say the band's existence has been entirely around the online world. We've done one gig acoustic together as a group, or two, one electric in March and then one acoustic when, you know, sort of the restrictions kind of lifted a little bit. We got a last minute call. Hey, can you fill in? But other than that, it's been entirely online, digital. And I think that's given us a lot of, you know, runway to do creative things with social media and, you know, with, you know, press and doing interviews like this and getting out there in different ways than ultimately we would have, where it just been like grinding, trying to get gigs.
It's wild because it's such a similar story these days. I mean, like a ton of bands that I've talked to, have been COVID project.
We have an audio issue.
Seems so.
And that's me. That's me.
Okay.
We got to get 10 seconds talking through these speakers, and then I'll go back to the mic. But what I was
going to remix there.
You got a nice little delay, right? There was like a little.
Yeah.
It's all right. You're coming through good, though. You're coming through good now.
Good, good, good. What I was going to say was there's just been a ton of projects that have popped up in COVID, which is great because it tells me that people aren't giving up, that people are still creating music, and that's awesome. But it's a different dynamic. It's a weird dynamic. Now, I wanted to ask you guys about being a power trio because that by itself is, you know, I mean, I think people don't know. It's difficult. Like, there's something about having a couple extra instruments in the band that gives you room to mess up. Tell me about your dynamic together as a band, being a power trio. It's just the three of you guys. And, well, yeah, let's start there. Talk to me about the dynamics of being a power trio.
You know, it's to your point, like when you mess up, and it's just comes through loud and clear that it's, you know, and everyone has, hey, Chris, what's happening? everyone has ownership of their instrument, of what they're doing. You know, I think there is a world, you know, Pat is such a talented guitarist as well, you know, beyond just bass. So I think at some point we'll look to move him into, you know, lead guitar officially, and we'll figure out how that all goes. But yeah, in terms of power trio, yeah, everyone owns their instrument and like I said, like we became a band and we, you know, shaped the sound around everyone's individual style, and that comes through in what we've been doing so far. And I think you're going to see even more of that when you can hear Pat, you know, cut through the mix more with the lead guitar lines that he's been writing, which were excellent, as you'll hear throughout the singles that we're going to put out.
Pat, are you on this single that we're going to be playing at on Sunday at 9 on the Fox?
Yeah, so I recorded the bass, and I also...
Oh, sorry. I should have said on guitar is what I should have said.
Yeah. I spent time like writing a lot of the lead guitar parts, probably 90% of them. It's like 4 songs coming out with that. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was a moment, too. The studio was like such a place of like where, I mean, we wrote lyrics there. We wrote, you know, harmonies there. We wrote lead guitar parts that you were working through with, you know, with the producer.
Question. Yeah, a producer.
Being part of a power trio, like it's like, especially in a studio setting, like since it's only three of us, like we can feed off of each other. We're like, we're really getting into each other's heads. We're like writing everything together and like bouncing ideas off each other, which it's always a lot simpler when there's less people, you know, less ideas coming in. So like having just the three right now, like we're really able to like mold a sound that we're really proud of. So.
Well, and that is something that I've noticed, is that a lot of these bands that have been coming out of COVID have been small. I mean, you know, there was like a two piece, you know, pop band that I talked to a little while ago. There's this great band Hawkins that's just they're a four piece, but it's like lead singer, guitar, bass, and drums, and it's you're starting to see, you know, bands kind of try to find their way in a studio setting. And I feel like you guys have really sort of done that. So, I mean, let's talk about this music. Cause you know, you mentioned alt blues and I hear a blues influence all over this record. I hear it in the lead work. You know, the main part, you know, the verse part of the song is kind of based off of a 1-4-5. You know, there's a strong turnaround on the five right before you get into the chorus. The chorus does its own thing and totally breaks those rules and those conventions. I guess, yeah, Nick, talk about your songwriting. Or, I mean, I guess all three of you guys, talk about how the songs take shape.
Nick did most of the work. We just filled
it. I'm just
putting the walls up. I'm just building little, you know, setting the blueprint out.
I like
and then
that.
Everything else gets built around that, you know, it's really just structure that I'm doing. But
putting up the walls, I like that.
Looks like a warehouse otherwise. So
it's great.
You know, so we, you know, so in terms of, yeah, like I said, you kind of build up, you know, start to say, all right, well, in terms of songwriting, a lot of it's been, you say, hey, I like this riff or I have this idea, or, you know, sometimes it started with, you know, just a poem or some scraps of paper and you say, hey, what can I build around this? you build a riff, you pair things up, you know. And so I think you'll see more of that, that there's a lot of variety in the music that's going to be coming out. And in this particular song, it's, you know, a sort of a specific story, a telling, you know, about a person whose own bravado sort of gets in their own way. And, you know, you say you have people telling you, don't be with this person, don't get involved with this person, that ultimately, you know, you're going to get your heart broken. And you say, I know better, and doesn't end up working out for you. And so that's the story here. We tell that through, you know, character Clay and Merrily. But, you know, it was a lot of fun putting this together, and the hooks and everything. You just maybe say, hey, I like this hook, and you plug it in.
It's a story a lot of people can relate to, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But, you know, a lot of my friends have been there, myself included. Sure. But, you know, sure. Some people can relate to.
Well, it's very – do you always write songs – do you always approach songwriting as storytelling, or is it sometimes – or do you sometimes just go with, like, just emotion and stream of consciousness?
It's a bit of both, for sure. This particular one is storytelling. There's been, you know, throughout quarantine, I think I did a lot of beating myself up about not writing enough. And you would be a little bit of writing here and a little bit of writing there. And, you know, I just kind of said to myself, you know, and finally, and so some of the songs I put out that we wrote during quarantine have a little bit more of a modular feel to them, where, you know, there's a hook that's written here, or a bridge that's written here, and they're, you know, plugged together. And all of a sudden you get a collage of parts of the quarantine. And you'll hear that in Crown. You'll hear that in a song called Moving Forward that'll come out in March. But it's different every time. But this one was storytelling. But sometimes, especially in a time where creativity is, you know, there's so little to draw on, especially while you're in quarantine, you get a more modular feel as pieces of inspiration come in smaller clips.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's you really touched on something, because I feel like a lot of people, I felt that feeling of, God, you know, I have all this time, and I have so few options of what I can do, so few distractions that I can let myself get caught up in. I should really be focusing on this. Is when I started to really build the core of this show, was during quarantine.
Yep.
You know, but you do, you beat yourself up when you're not using this time. If you're an artist, I think you beat yourself up when you're not using this time to create or do something interesting. No,
you're
that's
in survival mode. That's, this is survival mode right now.
Right.
And so it's not, I know so many artists that have that same exact feeling of, you know, why aren't I putting out enough? I'm not producing enough content. I'm not producing enough art. And, you know, it's not, everyone is totally different in how they're approaching this. And it's tough for everyone. So, you know, getting over that guilt was tough, but I've really channeled a lot of energy now into getting the studio stuff together, getting pressed together, and putting out stuff and building a, you know, identity online, which has been its own really cool experience.
Well, and it sounds like you guys have some plans. You've got a release plan in place. You've got a media plan in place. You're staggering the releases of these songs. So for people who have been watching, or for people who just tuned in, this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, we're going to be playing the first single from The Wind Up, which is called Who Cried Run. And that's coming out on December 10th. And that's going to be iTunes, Spotify, all the streaming, you know, spots. Everything. Excellent.
Everything.
And then, and correct me if I'm wrong, a month after that, you're going to release something new.
Yes, exactly. Okay. We wanted to, you know, this was our introduction. This was what we, you know, wanted to put as our foot forward, you know, as introducing ourselves as a band and our sound. And then from there, you know, we have something that's a little, you know, politically charged, about, you know, sort of a fall from grace, giving back a crown. And ultimately the playing field being leveled.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's so abstract, you know? So, and keep we going, figured right going. Around to mid-January might be a good time to, to release that.
You know? That's right. Well, okay. All right. So see, I love that. I love that kind of storytelling, you know, thing again, that you're, that you're going for? I mean, you know, not even within the song, but just within the way you present the music, within the release structure. Gio, I got to tell you, it's you know, Nick, it's giving me a very Springsteen-y vibe. And Gio, I have to tell you, as much as the Nuclear Heartbreak, your other band, doesn't sound anything like the E Street Band, there is kind of that, there is that grandeur, and there is that storytelling aspect, and there is that heavy emphasis on character within the song that I noticed in the Nuclear Heartbreak, and that I noticed within within this project as well, within the Wind Up. Is that something that is that an accident? Is that something that you're innately just attracted to in terms of projects that you're going to get involved in?
Well, I got to be honest, Sean, you just pointed that out, and I just realized that. So I think you might be onto something, though.
Hey, listen, man, I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the couch, but I you know, I think you got to look deep within.
You got to hear his hardcore band, though.
I'm definitely attracted to, like, I love a good story. Like, I love good lyrics. And, like, with both bands, I just think, like Nick and Jim, like they're trying to get like their point across. They're telling a story, like with every song. Every song is a story, and that's what I really love. And legitimately just realized that after you said that. But hey, you know what? That's what I'm into, I guess.
Right on, man. Right on. So how many songs do you guys have in the bank right now, and is there an EP, an LP coming soon?
So right now we have four singles that we're going to be putting out over the course of the next few months. The idea is that we would propel some of that momentum, you know, do some networking, get a little bit of a tour going, and you know, pair that with a full length album. So that would be towards the end of next summer, and we'll feel out what everything looks like and scheduling, and whether a tour is even something that is responsible to do. You know, right. We want to be super careful about how we're approaching everything, making sure that we are staying COVID conscious as we go through these processes. And, you know, I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to put this music out and to propel that into, you know, a live music experience, and to do that, translate that to that. But until, you know, the timing is right, we're not there. So studio is the way to go. We'll talk about, you know, whether we can get music video visual elements to some of them, to, you know, put a visual element to the music, which can be done remotely. And we'll figure out what that looks like over the next few months.
Oh, that's great, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to what else you guys have to put out. And once again, for people who are watching right now, this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, 95.9 FM, or 959thefox.com if you live outside of Fairfield County. 9 o'clock on Sunday, we're going to be playing the first single from The Wind Up. It's called Who Cried Run. It's going to be out on December 10th on all streaming platforms. Guys, as we wrap up here, any last things that you guys want to plug? I mean, you know, we've got staggered releases of all the singles coming out month by month. Is it going to be one per month? Is that the plan?
Apparently.
Yeah. December, January, and then we get a little break. We'll give everybody a little break. And then March. Then March, we'll tie that. And I think we're going to do, you know, sort of merch releases. We have a sort of theme set out, a different, you know, theme set up or the same theme that will be tied to each song release. So, you know, merch coming soon, figuring all that out, the logistics of getting that, you know, sort of done. And that'll be next, but look out for it. Just keep following the Instagram, follow on Facebook. You know, we'll be looking for other ways of getting in touch with, you know, fans, network, friends, family. It's just been tremendous, and we're just so appreciative of all the support that we've gotten so far, and you know, of the experience of doing this. Is it's just been fantastic, and appreciate you know talking with us today about this.
That's my pleasure.
I want to give a shout out to our producers too. Ryan Harvey was just like awesome. He totally banged out these tracks. He did a whole album with Gio and I for Rake Fire, our hardcore band, and he killed it. And Tony came in and even played a lead guitar on the four songs. You'll hear him in Spine. So he did a really great job and really appreciate those guys. They're out of Brooklyn, Mezzerel Studios. You should definitely hit him up if you want to record.
Absolutely. Right on. Thank you, man.
One thing I want to bring up, as always, tomorrow is Bandcamp First Friday.
Oh, that's right.
It's kind of weird. It's the last First Friday of the year. So any of your local artists and any artists you want to support tomorrow, there's no merchant fees. Buy their merch, buy their music. Everything goes straight to the artist. The windup will have a Bandcamp soon, very soon. Didn't make it this time, but we're going to make it the next time.
I love that you brought that up, though. I you know what? I'm going to make a post about that, too. Seriously, for people who are watching, if you want to support local music, really support local music. I know we're seeing the year wind up with the Spotify's all over the Instagram, and that's great. And Spotify's cool, sort of, whatever. Bandcamp is where it's at. Bandcamp pays their artists, and tomorrow they're really paying the artists. All things that you buy off of Bandcamp go directly to the artist. Is it everything? Is it they take like a dollar or something like that? It's all of it. Yeah.
I think it's 100. Every
cent goes to the artist.
It's 100. Yeah.
So like if you buy the music, if you buy merch, anything, it goes right to the artist. It definitely helps out like all your local artists. So definitely if you can, please support your local artists.
Bandcamp Friday, and please support live and local music everywhere. Thank you. Final question for you guys. Where'd the name come from?
Trial and error. But I think the windup as an idea ultimately centered around the idea of tension creating action. And so winding up something to ultimately create action. And that, you know, is part of the idea behind it. I think there's an Americana vibe. With some baseball connotations, but I think there's a lot that can be done with that. But I think ultimately that first thought of action created by tension is the key driver behind the name.
And when he said that, I was just like, hell yeah.
See, you know what the difference is between starting bands now that we're in our 30s and starting bands when our 20s? We can explain the shit out of what the name means. Yeah, right. I'll tell you, we got those good explanations. We got those good explanations. This Sunday night on 95.9 The Fox, we got the very first single from The Wind Up. It's called Who Cried Run. It's going to be out on all streaming services on December 10th. The Wind Up is here. This podcast will be released by this Sunday. You can check that out. You can subscribe to the Fairfield County Live and Local podcast. You get interviews with local artists right here in your area, NCT. Nick, Pat, Gio, The Wind Up, thank you guys for being here tonight. I appreciate it.
John, thank you so much for having us, man. This was excellent. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, fellas. Stick around for a second after I take us off the live broadcast. But for people watching at home, thank you. Check these guys out on 95.9 The Fox this Sunday.